The scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to the other, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my servants, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last Sunday was Ascension Sunday, in which Christians throughout the world celebrated and commemorated Christ's ascension into heaven. It was a big weekend for the disciples as they witnessed Christ raising into heaven and then the arrival of the Holy Spirit on earth. We know that it was at least a day or two between because the disciples left Olivet, not ours, for Jerusalem, and the walk took them a Sabbath day to complete. And it was when they returned to Jerusalem and were upstairs, surrounded by at least 121 people, the Holy Spirit arrived. This Sunday is known as Pentecost. Its name in Greek means the 50 days. It is 7 weeks, or 50 days, since Easter, since Jesus was raised from the dead. 7 weeks in which we have been remembering and celebrating the risen Christ, soaking up as many lessons as we could from him until he returned to heaven. Even though we have never been in Jesus' physical presence, sometimes it feels like we hang on to him as long as we can, and that we are just as anxious about his departure as the disciples were. In the ancient world, it was the time of the Jewish festival of weeks called Shavuot. This is the third of three major festivals in Judaism. Just as Hanukkah always is near Christmas and Passover near Easter, Shavuot is in line with Pentecost. It is a two-day celebration this year, June 8th through the 10th. It is always held 7 weeks after the Passover. And it first started as an ancient grain festival, but later became a tradition to commemorate the giving of the Torah from Mount Sinai. Traditionally, those who celebrate the giving of the Torah will stay up all night the first night. This year, that would have been last night, studying the Jewish texts. The book of Ruth is also read, and dairy is among the top foods at the festival. The disciples and many others were gathered in Jerusalem at that time to celebrate this festival. Many people that were adherent in their faith gathered in the city to participate in the ceremonies. They came from all over, as Scripture mentioned. Pilgrimages to the holy city were very significant. And it is then that God sends the Holy Spirit to earth. When the city is overcome with a huge influx of people, when it had reached its capacity, when the most people would be affected by the coming of the Spirit, God sent it to us. It does not seem too much of a coincidence that during the celebration of the Torah, the celebration in which the Jews had gathered in honor of the Exodus, the birth of the chosen people of God, that the Christian tradition, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this already holy day, became known as the birth of the church. There are a couple of ways to go about this text. As we know, Luke penned both the Gospel and the book of Acts. It makes sense that he would begin his telling of the Gospel with the birth of Jesus and the Acts of the Apostles with the birth of the body of Christ. I would like to think that Luke wrote those two books meaning to line them with parallel. But even if he didn't, there is a clear intention that both stories involve family and the importance of family. The Holy Family of Luke and the family of faith gathered in the upper room and the surrounding places in Jerusalem. Both of these stories are grounded in family to show what God had already been doing for generations for the Jewish people. The family of Luke was Mary, Joseph, and the wee Jesus. The family of Acts is the family promised to Abraham and Sarah. Though this text refers to the arrival of the Holy Spirit, she's been around literally the whole time. The same wind that blew in the chaos of the cosmos in the first verses of Genesis is the same wind that blew at the birth of the Christian church in Jerusalem. God's word was creating then, and it is still creating now. As the Spirit entered into the city, all that were gathered started to speak in their native language. And all that were gathered were able to understand the other languages that were being spoken. It would be like traveling to another country and hearing the language there, knowing you know none of it, but suddenly being able to understand every word. The Spirit of God was given to help us live into the life of Christ, and the Word of God presents a call to obey. It is a reminder that God's glory is around us and shines on us every day. Among the perceived chaos of the day, Peter stood and gave what is considered to be the first sermon of the Christian faith. Peter grounded his sermon in the importance of both the resurrection of Jesus and the Hebrew Scriptures. Throughout his sermon, he quoted Joel and Isaiah. God's promise throughout the Hebrew Scriptures was interpreted by Peter to be for everyone whom God calls to him. And God calls all of us to him. This is God's creation, and everyone and everything is called to the kingdom of God. The problems that arise with that do not come from God, but from us. The idea was just unsettling to some people in Jerusalem, as it is to some in 2019. Those that were confused about what they had heard that day insisted that the apostles and their friends had gotten drunk on some new wine. Peter denied this. Oh, hey, that seems to be a pattern for him. Saying that it was only 9 a.m., so there was no way they could be drunk. Clearly, Peter has never attended a tailgate party for a sporting event. Although they were not drunk off of wine, like some thought they were, these people were filled with new wine, with the Holy Spirit. A new wine in old wineskins. Christ fulfilled the promises of the Hebrew texts. The chaos that some were hearing was indeed the call to the nations to know that in Jesus there is no east or west. There are some that confuse this story with the story of Babel, where in the ancient story the chaos of language ensued to divide the people. It is unclear why God would do that. The only thing that I can think of in my human mind, which is not equipped or expected to understand all of God's decisions, is that the people of Shinar were ahead of schedule. Some say that God's vengefulness did this. It was why he did this, and he didn't want the people to see him. But I just wonder if it was because the plan that he had set forth in this world, the plan and the path that led to Jesus Christ, needed to be followed. Thus, God separated the people through language and sent them to the far reaches of the world. But through Jesus Christ, through the truth of all things, these people came back together, able to speak their languages and to fully understand what each was saying. Their dedication to Jesus Christ ended their confusion. Their common love allowed them to hear the call of God and to come back to him. There's a lot of chaos in this world. There always has been, and probably always will be. Chaos is not my favorite. Too much disorganization, too many conversations happening at once, too many people. It sets my panic meter off, and I start to turn inward. The chaos of the Holy Spirit that first Pentecost would have no doubt sent me into a tailspin, one that only the grace of God could have returned me from. The people that were present in that space in the city at that time experienced something that many of us crave. In the chaos of what was happening, they felt a calm. They felt understood. They felt heard. They were all on the same page, regardless of what was actually being said. We all have things that we need to say. We all have things that we wish people could hear. But for some reason, when we can't understand it, we just don't listen. When we don't understand it, we assume that it is wrong, so it doesn't deserve our validation or our consideration. When it is not the way that we interpret, we spend our time making sure that no one else listens to that opinion. The problem with that is that often the goal of the person is the same goal as us. And that is most certainly true in our love and dedication to Jesus Christ. It is certainly true in our desire to join him and all of the saints in their heavenly banquet. We do not understand the words that some people say, even if they are speaking the exact same language as us. But if we listen, if we slow down, calm down, open our ears and our hearts and our minds, we might just find that they are saying the exact same thing that we've been saying, but saying it in a new way, in a different way, and dare I say, often a better way. The peace of Christ is offered to all who seek it. The love and mercy of God is offered to all who are in this creation. The chaos of our lives might not be easy to calm. Chaos will happen. Our schedules are too busy. Our jobs are very demanding of our time. Our families need us, and they need us right now. No, not later, right now. I need you to come here right now. Is that just me? There is chaos in the work of the Holy Spirit because that's what she does. She is growing, she is creating, she is coming up behind us and cleaning up our messes. Maybe the Holy Spirit is like our mom. I'm not going to pull on that theological thread just now, but I think that's a thought that's going to fester. But in that chaos, in all of that, is the love and the peace of Jesus Christ. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the reminders of Christ's life, and through the understanding of his teachings, the peace washes over us. We can become unstoppable in our mission when it is the mission sent to us through the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is for all who seek it, and God calls all of us to seek it. One bread, one body, one spirit. Amen.